Matthew chapter number 5. We're going to look at just one verse of Scripture. This is the Beatitudes, and 8 Christian graces are mentioned here. Blessed meaning happy. Person have these things in their life that they'll be a happy Christian. I thought I was going to preach tonight a message on how to have a happy New Year. It's interesting when you study through the Scripture, the different things that Bible says will make a person happy. And trusting God, fearing God, there's just several things God talks about. But tonight I want to go a little bit different direction. Of course, the word blessed means happy. But in preparation for the new year, I want us to think about one verse in particular on this as far as the Beatitudes. Let's go ahead and pray and we'll ask God's blessing on His Word. Father, thank You again for the songs and the special. Thank You again for Your Word. I ask You to please now help us tonight. Give us the words to say. Bless Your people. Strengthen them. Thank You again for the service last night. Thank You for using Ben there. Lord, again, just to look forward to the new year. Help us, Father, do our best for Thee. Lord, may tonight even be a preparation for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew chapter number 5, look at your Bible in verse number 6, and we'll not read all the Beatitudes, just this one verse I want you to look at tonight. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We all know this almost by heart. Would you say that with me? Let's do it again. Verse number 6 together. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are interesting because we refer to it as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ said some very, very powerful things as He's speaking to His disciples as far as things that we need to do in our life. We look at the first verses of chapter number 5, you've got the Beatitudes, and verse number 13 down through verse number 16, talking about light and salt and how the Christian ought to have influence. He talks about the lesser commandments as well as the more important commandments is what we would compare. For instance, he says, you know, if you were to murder somebody or if you were to hate your brother, he talks about if you were to commit adultery or if you were to lust upon a woman, we talk about lesser and greater commandments. But God makes he ends the chapter in chapter number 5 with, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. In other words, you ought to do the least commandments as much as the great commandments. You ought to do them both. All right, so he stresses a lot. Chapter number 6, he talks about prayer, and he's going to talk about fasting. He's going to talk about giving. He's talking about where you're going to lay your treasures up. In chapter number 7, not judging our brethren, and of course, talking about asking and receiving, and of course, knocking, and he talks about warnings against false teachers. Chapter 5, 6, and 7, interesting, powerful. We've had lessons on this, just those chapters of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I want to just look at this and think about this one verse tonight, and I want to make reference to the new year if I can tonight. On this idea of, are you hungry? And I'm not talking about physical food. I'm talking about spiritual food. And Jesus is the one that makes the statement. He says in verse number 6, he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but we tease a little bit about this idea of dessert. And I'm a big dessert person. I tease about not liking sugar, but that's the opposite. I love anything that's sweet. In my office right now, I still have candy. I decided not to take all of the Christmas candy home because if it goes home, then I don't get it. So I decided I got my own stash in my office. My kids don't even think about it, all right? You're not going to my office. And so, you know, somebody was in my candy, by the way. Somebody gave me a large, it was Connor, that's who it was. Connor gave me this large bag of those Lindsay? Okay, Linda something. Anyway, those chocolate balls that are kind of, you know, they got flavoring on the inside and they're wrapped with that foil. Oh, man. And they had all the different flavors. And I always tell my kids and stuff because they open it before I open it. Somebody's in trouble. All right, anyway, back to the message tonight. But I like sugar. All right, I like chocolate. I like anything of that sort. But you can't live on that. As much as we think we could, we shouldn't. All right, it's not healthy. Can you imagine if you had ice cream for breakfast, for lunch, and for supper? Some of you are in heaven already, all right? Now, think about it. You can't live that way. Can you imagine having pie for every meal and only having pie? I mean, you just cannot live that way. It's not healthy for a person. My brother, we were at Christmas together, and of course, it's not good for him and I to get together because when you put two Hank's appetites together, it's not healthy. It's not healthy at all. And so I just might as well bank on that when I go to visit my brother, I'm going to gain 10 pounds. It's just part of it, all right? Our fellowship is always around food, okay? Now, your families are different. My dad was a huge, big fella. And he liked to eat, and he always ate things that were not healthy. You know, fried potatoes, you know, that were put in a skillet. And you had grease all over them. So when you scooped it out, grease was dripping off of it as you put it on. Those hamburgers that when you smashed them, the grease came out the side, had the lettuce, the pickle, the green, the tomatoes, and I don't like tomatoes, but the cheese, and on. And he'd eat late at night. All right, so we wasn't a healthy family at all. I'm not encouraging this, but it sure sounds good right now. And So my brother and I, we had a breakfast together, and then we had lunch together, and we went and got some family pictures together. We got back around 4 o'clock, and we decided to have dessert. I don't know what I was thinking. It was too close to supper time, so I was hungry. And so I sat down, it was around 4 o'clock, and this is before the Wednesday night church service, and I knew we were going to eat supper later. So at 4 o'clock, we're just going to have dessert. Well, that was after I had a piece of peppermint pie. I had a piece of chocolate pie. I had a piece of pecan pie. And then I had several cookies. And believe it or not, I was full after all that. And but that was, and you know that, and by the way, I didn't eat anything else that night because that was supper for me. And you know, I didn't feel very good the next day. Because supper is not meant to have pie as supper. All right, it's okay to have it for dessert or maybe to have a piece. But I mean, I had a plate full. I mean, I had that was supper, and it wasn't healthy for me. Okay, now can I tell you something? What happens for us in our Christian life is we put on all the things that the lust of the flesh likes to put in, but it's not healthy for us. So what happens is those things that we enjoy that are not of a spiritual nature, we pile it on when it comes to our spiritual life. And what happens, we get sick. We get sick spiritually speaking because we're hungering and thirsting after things that are not healthy for us. You say, well, Pastor, I'm still alive. And yes, you are alive. And maybe the sin of, and again, I know the Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews that sometimes there are weights and sometimes there are sins that we do. Some things that is just blatantly against Scripture, and some things that just slow us down as a Christian and we shouldn't be doing them. All right? All things are lawful for me. The word lawful means right. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. The word expedient means advantageous. All things are lawful for me. All things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. What Paul was trying to say is, there's some things that are just not good for us. Now, tonight, I want you to think about what are you hungering for. And I want to tell you, as a Christian, we need to fill up. And we need to fill up on the right things. You know, I know that some of you are you're health nuts. And I want to stress the word nut. And, you know, you eat healthy. Hey, listen, you're a good person. You're weird, but you're a good person. All righty? You know, you're the kind of person that, you know, you're going to make sure that you got all the vegetables and the fruits, and you're going to stay away from pork. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, nothing anti-scripture. I'm not judging you tonight. You're weird. I'm not judging you tonight. But, you know, I'm glad that you're healthy, okay? And I believe there's a balance. And again, I'm teasing a little bit here, but there's a balance when it comes to our physical life. You need vegetables. You need fruits. You need meat. All right. There's certain things that your body needs. All right. Tonight I'm not preaching a message on your diet tonight, or a physical diet, or how you're. But I'm talking about tonight your spiritual diet. I'm talking about what are you filling up on. All right. So tonight let's talk about that for just a moment. I want you to look at a couple things with me tonight. In Matthew chapter 4, if you back up one chapter, when the Bible talks about as far as hungering and thirst after righteousness, what is it talking about? Several different things in the Bible. Let's look at it quickly. Verse number 4 of chapter number 4. Jesus speaking to Satan. He says this, but he answered and said, it is written, let's say it together, ready? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In 1 Peter chapter number 2, you don't have to turn to it. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of what? That ye may what? Grow the body. So in other words, how are you going to grow? You're going to fill up on the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hey, listen, I know we're starting 2020. Today is January the 1st. Can I tell you, you ought to have already, I hope that you've already started your Bible reading schedule. Because you know why? That's what you need to fill up on. That's what you need to fill up on. Hey, young people, listen. Don't spend 3 hours playing a video game or 4 hours watching a television program and not give God 10 minutes. Come on, if you're saved tonight and you have a Holy Spirit inside of you, and you're a young person tonight, there ought to be something that ought to be nagging you on the inside saying, I know better. I know better. You don't need a parent. You don't need a spouse. My wife and I don't do it hardly ever anymore. If you've been with me a long time, years ago, I even mentioned during services. When we first got married for several years, probably 10 years of marriage, I would ask my wife, are you having your devotions and where you're at and you're having your devotions? And sometimes I'd say that during a church service to some of the ladies in the church, because I was younger then. They'd look at me like, how dare you ask your wife, is she having her devotions? Hey, church family, if you can't ask your spouse if they're having their devotions and if they get upset about it, they just answered the question. If you're having your devotions, who cares if they ask you if you're having devotions? If you've got a child at home and you ask them, did you read your Bible? And they roll their eyes, they answered the question. Because you don't have to roll your eyes. You don't have to get upset. You don't have to get huffy when somebody says, did you read your Bible today? If you've read your Bible. Hey, can I tell you something? There's nothing wrong with trying to find out. Goodness, if you're married tonight, by the way, fellas, I wouldn't ask your wife if she's reading her Bible if you're not reading yours. Amen. All right, so there's a solution to that. Read your Bible. Hey, can I tell you something? You need to fill up on the Word of God. Fellas, listen. I know that you're busy. You're working 40 and 50 hours a week, okay? Find the way to get the Word of God inside your head. For some of you, are traveling 45 minutes to an hour to work. Have the Bible playing the whole time. For some of you, the kind of job you have, you can actually do two things at once. All right, because maybe your job is a repetitious type of job. Okay, memorize one verse a week. Constantly putting in the Word of God, constantly meditating on the Word of God, and memorizing the Word of God, and allowing the Word of God to do its work. Fill up on it. You know, the problem with us as Christians, we're filling up on all these other things, we're not filling up on the Word of God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. What are you hungry for? The proverb is you've heard again, you probably haven't memorized, but Proverbs 18:1, through desire, man. You know, the problem with us today is we really don't have a desire for the Word of God. Hey, we got a desire to make church short, make recreation long. We got a desire to do what our flesh wants to do, and we got a very, again, he said it, the flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing, the flesh is weak. I think in some cases the spirit's not even willing. Through desire, man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. If you have a desire, you separate. What do you mean separate? It means you get up in the morning. You figure out a way to make sure that I'm going to put in the Word of God. So if I'm going to fill up, if I'm going to hunger, what are you hungry for? You ought to be hungry for the Word of God. Think about this. I want you to think about this. I'll just quote it. I'm going to go take a couple of verses. But Ephesians 5, you know the verse. Verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but what? But be filled with what? The Spirit. Now it's very, very interesting because in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse number 13, here's what he says. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that what? Ask. You have not because ye... Hey, listen, if you want to be filled, you ought to desire for the Spirit of God to have total control and be filled with the Spirit of God. Blessed are they which do hunger. Do you have a desire for it? You know, the problem is this, okay? Now, this is the Christian, okay? The Christian has so many things that he's filled with, okay? He's filled with the wrong music. He's filled with the wrong television programs. He's filled with the wrong friends. He's filled with the wrong language. He's filled with all these kind of things. And the problem, there's no room. There's no room. So here's what's going to have to happen, okay? If you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, now, I think it's Isaiah chapter 44. I'll quote you again. We could turn to these. But Isaiah 44, verse number 3. For I will pour water upon him that is, what's the word? Thirsty. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. What's the water? And floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. So here's the comparison. First phrase, second phrase. He compares water to the Spirit of God. Now listen, if you're going to be filled, this is water up here. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to have to get rid of some things in order to be able to fill up. So in other words, I have to put off in order for me to put on. You know, you think you can come to church and put a little bit in, but the problem is you've got so much other junk in there, there's no way for you to get filled with the Spirit of God. There's things you have to get out of your life in order to be able to get something in your life. So when he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, can I tell you what you ought to be filled with? You ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. You say, how do I get filled with the Spirit of God? All right, now, I know this is elementary. Turn over to the book of Colossians with me for just a second here, all right? Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. Sister Emily, you know the verse, because I quoted to you and you know it by heart, but I'm going to quote it again while you're turning to Colossians 3. But, and be not drunk with wine, Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he's going to go through being thankful, he's going to be going through submitting yourselves one to another, and singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The mirror passage to this is Colossians number 3. Look at verse number 16. The mirror verse to Ephesians 5:18 and be filled with the Spirit is Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's interesting to me that the word richly means to be filled to excess. So what's he trying to say? Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit of God. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you filled. You know what he's trying to say? He's trying to say this. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the filling of the word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If I'm going to be a Spirit-filled Christian, the only way to do it is to be a Scripture-filled Christian. What are you hungry for? And listen, you ought to be hungry for the Word of God. Tonight, you're here on a Wednesday night. You know what that's a proof of, to a degree, depending if someone made you come tonight. The proof of that is, I come to the God's house because I want to know more of the Word of God. I want to put more of the Word of God in me. Now, the evidence of that is even more when you get up tomorrow morning, read your Bible, and you do it the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and you put the Word of God in, and it leads and directs your life. So, are you hungry tonight? Are you hungry for the Word of God? Are you hungry for the Spirit of God? Hey, the Spirit of God is part of, it's not a trick question. The Spirit of God is part of a threefold Word, all right? What do we call the three parts of the Godhead? What do we call that? Called the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. Now, God the Father is on His throne in heaven. Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of the Father. Where's the Holy Spirit right now? He's in us. Now, hey, that's a hard one to understand, but we believe that according to 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? No, you're not that you're body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. We think to ourselves, man alive, how can that happen? We have a hard time understanding that because we have a mortal mind. One day we'll be immortal. We'll see Him as He is. We'll think like Christ knows. We'll have perfect knowledge. But all we can believe is the Word of God that the Holy Spirit dwells inside us. Now wait a second here. How is it that there are some people who are believers that they cuss, they smoke, they drink, they do all kinds of things that are against the Word of God, but they're, you know, quote unquote, a believer. And you got this other guy over here, and this guy, he's in church, he's helping others, you know, he lets his light shine. I mean, what's the difference? I want to tell you what the difference is, okay? Now, we can say, well, that person's lost, and maybe so. But can I tell you what the difference is in most cases? The difference is one is Spirit-filled, and the other one is Spirit-indwelled. Big difference. If you're saved tonight, you are Spirit-indwelled. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. But church, I want to tell you something. There's a big difference when you are Spirit-filled. He has control of you. Why does He make the comparison, first phrase, second phrase? And be not drunk with what? Okay, wherein is excess? In other words, a drunk, it's very evident he's drunk by his slurred speech. It's very evident by he's drunk by because of his crooked walk. The evidence of the alcohol is in his actions. Where is the evidence of a Spirit-filled life? In his actions. So can I tell you tonight, you ought to be hungry. You know what you ought to be hungry for? You ought to be hungry for the Word of God. You ought to be hungry for? You ought to be hungry for being filled with the Spirit of God. You say, Pastor, I do. I know, and I you understand, I think, tonight. I can get filled with the Spirit by being filled with Scripture. But did you remember what I just read a moment ago out of Luke 11, verse 13? He said, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to who? To them that ask Him. You say, Pastor, I'm saved. I already have the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that verse is talking about salvation, getting saved, Holy Spirit. I think he's talking about how much more shall he give the Holy Spirit? How much more shall he give the filling, the direction, the power of the Holy Spirit upon a person? Upon them that ask Him. God, help me to live a Spirit-filled life today. God, help the Holy Spirit to have control of my life today. God, would you please lead and direct me and show me what I'm supposed to do and not supposed to do today? Hey, God will do that for you. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. Hey, listen, a Spirit-filled life is not just a pastor thing or an adult thing. It's a Christian thing. That means a teenager can be Spirit-filled. He can be under the influence of a Holy Spirit of God based upon how he is filled. How come you young people come to church, the only thing you can talk about is a video game? I'll tell you why, that's what you're filled with. How come it's the only time you can get together in school, teachers not around, and the only thing you can talk about is movies you watched? I want to tell you why. Because that's what you're filled with. Well, you know, I don't like talking about the Bible. The teenagers might laugh at me. You know what they might think is you're filled with something other than what they're filled with. Big difference. The difference is the more I put the Word of God inside of me, the more I ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, what I'm filled is what comes out of me. Something else. I want you to go ahead and turn to this one. Turn to Psalm 84 with me tonight. Psalm 84. Look at verse number 2. Psalm 84, verse number 2. Just some things to think about as far as what are you filled with tonight? Are you hungry? Psalm 84, look down at verse number 2. Verse 1 says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Just remember, you know what you ought to be filled with this coming year? You ought to be filled with the Word of God. You ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. You ought to be filled with the house of God. I don't know if you noticed what he said there in verse number 2 there, but he says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. Hey, church family, I'm careful as a pastor. I try to be careful. Maybe I'm not. I try to be, but I want to be careful when it comes to the pastor. The pastor's not a dictator. We follow Jesus Christ. I want to be careful when it comes to the church. You know, we're not Catholics here, okay? You know, the Catholic Church tells you the only people going to heaven is the ones that are Catholics. If you're not part of the church, you're not going to heaven. I'd like to see chapter and verse on that one. All right. Aren't you glad that, hey, by the way, there's people who go to Baptist churches. They're not going to heaven. Christ is the only way to heaven. All right. But can I tell you something? You ought to love the house of God. Amos said this in Amos 8, verse number 11. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the word of God." And I want to tell you something, children. We're at that place right now. And you know the reason that, part of the reason we're in a famine in the land right now? It's not, now to a degree. To a degree, it's not so much the famine is coming from the pulpit. The famine is because people don't go to church. They're not even going to where the well is. The reason, you know, they're thirsting. Don't even know they're thirsting, but they're not smart enough to go where the water's coming out of the spigot. Because there's something, there ought to be a hunger for me to, I want to be at church. I don't know. I'm sure I can miss it sometimes. I don't feel like you'll come here to, you know, find out what the other person's wearing. I don't think you come because somebody else. By the way, if you're coming because somebody else is coming to church, what are you going to do when they stop coming to church? We don't come to church because of the pastor. We come to church because of preaching.
Amen. That's right.
We worship God when we come to church, but the Word of God is paramount. It's not a matter of who is preaching. It's not a matter of who else is there. I'm not coming to church because of who I like there. I come to church because that's what God told me to do, and that's where I'm going to get fed from the Word of God. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. In other words, some people are just not going to come to church. Hey, church, somebody, don't get discouraged because you come to church and your friend doesn't come to church. You're not coming for them. You're coming because that's what God wants you to do.
Amen.
And you ought to hunger that. I can picture the guy's face. This was years ago. I can't remember what his name was, and it's probably best that I don't. But I remember him coming to our church, and you've heard me make the statement before, and it was this particular fellow. He'd come to church, really nice fellow too. He'd come to church, and he had visited our church, and here's what he said. He says, "Pastor Hanks, Heritage Baptist Church is like an oasis in the desert." I'll never forget him saying that. "Heritage Baptist Church is like an oasis in the desert." I told him, I said, "Well, you haven't been here very long yet. I'd be careful about how much of an oasis you think this is." I don't remember how long he was here, but he got discouraged. He got discouraged because he found out that Christians who he held upon a higher esteem and his expectation of what they thought they were not. He found out that Christians sometimes can be critical. He found out that Christians can sometimes be two-faced. You're not going to find a utopia. Heritage Baptist Church is not a utopia. There's no church out there that's a utopia. If that's the case, we'd all be in heaven. We'd all be like Christ. I hate to tell you this tonight. Now, be careful of what I'm about to say, okay? And don't look. I want you to look. Don't look at anybody else. Look at me. The person next to you is probably a sinner. Yeah. Yep. Sorry to startle you there. My guess is that the person that you're sitting next to has some things that they're probably ashamed about. They don't want anybody else to know that they've done them. Probably the person that you're sitting next to, maybe the person, he hasn't read his Bible in 2 or 3 days. Just remember, the church is a hospital. You're coming here so that you can be fed spiritually from the Word of God that hopefully will fill you up. Because by the way, how many's figured out that after, how many's already had supper? How many's already had supper already? How many of you have not had supper yet? How many of you are hungry and you could eat right now? All right? Several of you are hungry right now. Now, you that have had supper right now, I don't know if you're filled, but or I don't know if you're full, but you're filled enough that you're probably comfortable right now.
Amen.
How many of you think that what you ate tonight is going to last you till next Wednesday night? Anybody else? I didn't say that some of you could last. I said that you will last. Okay. Now, hey, do you know the unique thing about filling is you get filled and then you get hungry again, then you get filled, then you get hungry again, then you get filled. Just, I mean, that's the same thing with us spiritually. It's not that you just come to one church service and get filled. Boy, that's going to last you for the week. If physical food doesn't last you for a week, and neither does spiritual food, that's why that the Bible says that you are renewed day by day. That's why tomorrow you have to be in the book. That's why the next day you have to be. Hey, church is a time for us to hear from the Word of God and to encourage us and to exhort us to be in the book and to grow as a Christian and to be what God wants to be. So we're in 2020 and you ought to be filled up and you ought to be hungry. And you ought to be hungry for the Bible. You ought to be hungry for the Holy Spirit. You ought to be hungry for the house of God. Hey, listen, you ought to come to church, and if the pastor says something that's true, there's nothing wrong with saying amen. I agree with that. That's right. And in some cases, we don't say it out loud, but it's not really an amen. It's amen. It's an oh me. And that's me. But we understand that it's truth. And we need the truth of the Word of God. And we ought to hunger for that. And we ought to thirst for that. And we ought to have a desire for that. You know, don't raise your hand, but there's probably several people in here. You're ready to start your diet. Maybe today was your first day. I know I've talked to a couple of people. January 1, man, I'm going to start my diet. I'm going to lose this weight. You know, the thing about diets is this. You have to change your appetite. Think about it. I mean, when you start your diet, you don't go to the grocery store and buy pie and ice cream and chocolate and just, you know, put it around the house so that you can look at it while you're dieting. You get that stuff out of your house. If you're a soda drinker, you made sure you had your last soda at 11:59 on December 31st so that you get your fix in before you go into starvation mode. But you know what? I can promise you this because I've seen it again and again. A person who enjoys candy, chocolate, ice cream, pop, whatever it might be, when they start their diet, at the very beginning, it's difficult. But what happens, they train their appetite and they get to a place they don't really want it anymore. And I know some of you haven't made it there yet. This is January 1. Okay. Can I tell you that if you would get into the Word of God, some of you say, Pastor, I read the Bible, I don't get anything out of it. I read the Bible, and I just thought, if you would start putting yourself on a regular diet, you know, I'll tell you what would happen when it comes to the Word of God. You would get to a place where it wasn't like this. Oh, I've got to read my Bible. No, it would get to a place, if you would get yourself on a regular schedule, man, I can't wait to read my Bible. I can't wait to get to that. And I want to tell you, it'd be the best thing for you. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hey, this year, what are you hungry for? I can tell you what you're hungry for. What's the first thing you think of when you get out of bed in the morning? I can tell you what you're hungry for. What's the thing that permeates or is constantly on your mind as far as what you want to do, where you want to go, who you want to be with? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, it ought to be God. It ought to be the Word of God. It ought to be, I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? Because blessed, that's where happiness is. Happiness is not fulfilling the lust of your flesh. That is a temporary enjoyment. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a... So what's happening is you're feeding your flesh. Oh, man, I really enjoyed that for a season. Yeah, listen, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Some things you have to get out. Pour them out. Get rid of them. Change whatever you're doing. Get hungry for God. Get hungry for His Word. Get hungry for His house. Get hungry for the Spirit of God. Put the spiritual things in. And guess what? Blessed. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then someone said, you could have a happy life and you could have a happy new year. You know how you do that? Put the right things in. Start hungering the things that are good, not the things that are bad.
Amen.
Now listen, I don't know what your life is tonight. I don't know what you're doing tonight and where you're at spiritually. But I can tell you one thing that's really, really important for you as a Christian is to have the right kind of diet. And if you're putting pie and the lustful things of the flesh in, and you're not putting the meat in, Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 15, the meat of the Word of God, 2 Peter 2, 2, the milk of the Word of God. If you're not putting the Word of God in, I want to tell you, it's just a matter of time. You're not going to feel very good. You're going to feel better if you get a diet of the Word of God. Now listen to me, I'm done. Some of you still have not made a choice to have a regular Bible reading schedule. Today is the 1st of January. Start tonight. Church family, I know God can lead you differently. If God leads you to read through your Bible chronologically, read it through chronologically. I don't care. But make sure you read scheduled. But listen to me. Today you had to read Genesis 1, 2, and 3.
And
3. I don't know what schedule you're on. Wrong schedule. Read the schedule right. All right? It's actually Genesis 1, 2, and 3. I read it. Hey, listen. When you read the Bible, don't get discouraged about it, but start. Why? Because I want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I put the right things in. All right? Hey, you're starting the year. Today's first. Some of you young people in here, God could really do something with you this year. More than you could ever imagine if you would just hunger after the right things. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?